chapter 14 tonight. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we read the first verse of chapter 14 of the book of Proverbs. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh down with their hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despise him. In the mouth of the foolish is the rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. We're going to look at chapter 14 today of the book of Proverbs and study what God has for us out of this 14th chapter. So let's pray. Father, we thank you now for today. We thank you for the simple truth that we're about to hear. I ask that you bless, guide, and direct. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. For a number of weeks, we went through and we almost looked at everything verse by verse. But we found that due to a few reasons, one, because of time, and another is that things repeat, subjects repeat over and over again. Now in the book of Proverbs, that we're and use our time best to look at selected verses. We're just going to look at selective sections of a chapter rather than the whole chapter. And so here in chapter 14, there's a number of sections we're going to look at. But again, we're not going to look verse by verse. Let me just make this statement. I've repeated it and repeated it and repeated it, and I'll repeat it more before we're done with our study on the book of Proverbs. But the book of Proverbs is looking at life from God's perspective. And God allows us to understand through the book of Proverbs daily situations that we run into. And we need wisdom in. A simple thing as how to state something. Simply how to greet someone. How to answer a question. How to behave with our tongue. How to behave as a husband or a wife. How to behave as a child or as a parent. How to behave in every aspect of life as a friend or a neighbor. God teaches us His view. So that when we have read the book of Proverbs, we start to apply the book of Proverbs to our life. Then our life changes, our behavior changes. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For years, people have asked me, how do you do that? And I've often said, by reading the Word of God. But the honest to goodness fullness of a truth is by studying the book of Proverbs and seeing the daily situations that God talks about and applying wisdom to those situations. All right? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take different situations. We're going to look at them. We've been doing that over the last number of weeks. And we're going to continue that today. Look in verse number 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck down with their hands. It's important then. Now this is going to be spoken about in other sections. But it's important then how a wise woman buildeth her home. Now I know it says her house, but it's really talking about her home. Talking about how to be a wise mama, how to be a wise wife, how to be a wise provider of the things for your home. There takes great wisdom to understand how to be a godly mother. It takes great wisdom to know how to be a godly wife. And God says, a wise woman buildeth her house. So that means, ladies, we're not picking on ladies, just so happens that it's there. Ladies, you need to be careful how you build up your home. How you build up. Listen, your husband needs to be built up emotionally. He needs to be built up. A man has an appetite for an enormous ego. And they need that to survive. That's something God put in a man. Your man's not supposed to be made to look foolish or stupid as the world now sees men. You turn on a TV set, you watch a situation comedy or a sitcom as we call them, and men look like dummies. They look like stupid people. And we're taught all the time we don't need men. Can I tell you why that's being taught in our society today? Because we have a society of gay and lesbians that want us to think you don't need a dad and you don't need a mom. You just need a parent. And you don't just need a parent. You need a dad and a mom. God knew what He's doing. And so, ladies, God says it's your job, it's your responsibility here to build that home. Now, the husband's got responsibilities. It just so happens that at this point, he's talking about a wise woman. Now, notice what it says in the second half of that verse. It says, a wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish plucketh down with her hands. So, a foolish woman doesn't build up what she has. She tears down what is there. And so, I want to be a wise person. So I want to build my home. I don't want to pull it down. The only one that can destroy your home, ladies, are you ready? You. I know we don't like that. We live in a society where ladies aren't supposed to have anything to do with the home, but we're wrong. We're wrong. Our society's wrong. We need mamas at home. We need homes to be built. We are destroying the nucleus of our society because we've taken mama out of the house, and our greed for things is so great that we want mama to stay at work and not have a life with their children, and that's wrong. We don't want mamas to build homes, and that's wrong. Listen, I know that men and women are equal, but they have different jobs. And there's nothing wrong with having a different job. The man that takes out the trash and picks it up in the trash truck has a different job than a police officer. It doesn't mean that the trash man is any less valuable than the police officer. You don't get the trash picked up for 5 weeks and you see how important a trash man becomes. A police officer and a trash man have different jobs, but they're both important. They're both needed. There's a difference between being a fireman and a policeman. A fireman doesn't go in armed into a building to take criminals out. They go armed into a fiery building with a hose to put a fire out. Different jobs. Both are equally important. A husband has a job and a wife has a job. They're different jobs, but they're equally important. And we have a society today that says it's not important. And we're destroying our children, we're destroying our homes, we're plucking them down, and we're destroying our children's future because of what we're doing. And we need to wake up as a society and realize we're going right against God's Word. We're going to find out more about that here in a little bit. But not about woman's position, but how the wisdom of the world is not the wisdom of God. But here we see this, and it's important that we begin to see this, because now in other places in the book of Proverbs, we're going to see the importance of a wife and a mama in the home. All right? Verse number four. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increased by the strength of the ox. Here's what it's saying. If you got an empty barn, it's clean. You don't have to take out the manure. You don't have to clean it out. It doesn't stink. It stays cared for. Why? Because there's nothing there. But you put in some oxen, and you start to use your barn for the purpose that it's there, and there's a lot more work. But it's worth it. Because an empty barn doesn't do you any good. It's a full barn that does you good. Alright? So, let's take that philosophy. Success then brings difficulties and challenges and sometimes troubles. If you don't want to have any problems, then don't do anything. The more you do in your life, the more growing your life does, the more things that you do, the more things that you have, the more problems that come as a result of that. But that's not a bad thing. It just means there's challenges out there to be faced. For example, a baby in the home is a blessing. And we want children. But before the baby came, the house was in a mess all the time. and it didn't smell like dirty diapers. And there's been a lot more work since the baby came. But there's a blessing in children. And so when the child came along, there was something wonderful that came along, but also work came along. Not only did work come up, came along, sometimes problems came. Sometimes there's discipline problems. Sometimes there's emotional problems. Sometimes there are educational problems, but problems come with children. But there's a blessing that's much greater than that. So to have a child is a wonderful thing. You don't say, I'm never going to have a child because there may be some problems that come. Well, then you're foolish. Your crib's empty. Your crib's empty, the place is clean, and you don't have all those burdens, but you don't have all those blessings either. You don't have all the rewards that come along with it either. When it comes to a child, there's more mess. There's more work. There's more labor. There's more blessings. There's more encouragement. There's that I will ooh in the middle of the night that the baby gives you, and it just melts you like your butter on a hot piece of toast. Ooh, that sounds good. Toast and butter. Anyway, babies bring joy. They bring a thrill. They bring an excitement. They bring a love that you can't explain. They bring a completeness to your life. But sometimes they bring heartache when a child gets sick. As we prayed for young Lucas last week in the hospital, sick, hoping that he'd get better enough to come. And sure enough, the Lord helped him be able to be here tonight because he got out of the hospital and he's doing well. But we prayed. And it brings sleepless nights sometimes, babies do. Sometimes they bring a lot of hard work. And as children get older, sometimes they bring a heartbreak for a little while. But then time goes on and they become even a greater blessing. I heard a parent say one time, grandchildren are a reward for not killing your children as they were growing up. I would say amen to that. I love my grandchildren. I'm so thrilled I didn't destroy my children as they grew up, because without your children, you don't get grandchildren. And they're a wonderful, wonderful blessing in every way. And it's wonderful as a result. And your love between... You know, I understood my parents better when I became a parent. And now that I'm a grandparent, I understand my parents even better because I understand it from a grandparent point of view now as well. It's exciting what all these things bring. But it also brings problems. Sometimes it brings financial problems. Sometimes it brings spiritual problems. Sometimes it brings fights amongst the parents. No, we need to do this. No, we need to do that. No, we should do this. No, we should... But you can eliminate all that by never having a child. But the truth is that you're going to have a clean crib. But you're not going to have the fullness that comes with life. So it's wonderful to have things. So God is just telling us that success then, having a child to me is success. It's a new step. A new part of life. Life is constantly changing when you have a child in your home. But I'd rather have the mess of growing up and having it clean and take care of everything than having a clean, pristine building. Let me use other illustrations. Baby Christians bring more work to every aspect of the church. Bus kids bring more work to the church. Sunday school departments bring more work to the church. And some people feel like they're overworked or overcome, but I'd rather be overworked and overcome than have a pristine building and nothing to do. Because growth brings problems and difficulties. That's what God's teaching us in verse number 4. Verse 6. So, by the way, that's an everyday life thing then, isn't it? Yeah. Because it doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're at work, or whether you're in the family, or whether you're in your church, or whether you're where, no matter where you're at, it teaches us that success brings issues with it. And we'd rather have the issues than having a clean barn, all right? Verse number 6. Knowledge cannot bring wisdom, but wisdom will bring knowledge. That's what it's teaching us in verse 6. Let's read that. The scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. So the scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, because he's a scorner. You can't find God's wisdom. Wisdom is looking at life from God's point of view. But when you are a scorner, you're not going to hear it from God. You're not going to find that negatives with God. God's a positive God. I'm positive God loves me. I'm positive that heaven is forever. I'm positive Jesus died for all my sins. I'm positive I'm never going to go to hell. God's a positive God. But a scorner is one who criticizes things all the time. Scorner, scorner, scorner. And they're seeking wisdom, but you can't find it because you're not living in a position where you can hear what God's telling you or telling me, because we're in that critical stage. All right? So someone can have then a head full of knowledge and not have wisdom. Sometimes people can be unbelievably intelligent and have no common sense. Wisdom isn't common sense, by the way. Wisdom is looking at life from God's point of view. So some people have a great amount of knowledge, and the Bible teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not knowledge. Knowledge doesn't give us wisdom, but wisdom does give us knowledge. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So then I can get understanding, I can get knowledge from God by going to wisdom. A good example is when you hear of an evaluation that this knowledge, when you hear about evolution, for example, and its knowledge, falsely so-called, yet it's not true. Although, it's everywhere, isn't it? We evolved, we came from this, and we came from that. Oh, bones are billions of years old, and before there was man on this earth, all these things. Wait a minute. God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. You mean, preacher, you believe in a literal 7 day, 24 hours, 6 day God created on the seventh day He rested? Yes, I do. Why do you believe that? Because God said so. I'm not God. And just because somebody has more knowledge in some areas, that doesn't mean their knowledge is wisdom. And that doesn't mean they're right. Because you can have all the knowledge in the world but not have wisdom. But if you have wisdom, you can get knowledge. Wisdom is looking at life from God's perspective. Well, it doesn't make any sense. Well, there's a lot of things in life that don't make any sense. But God is more powerful than what man has ever been or will ever be. And because of that, I can believe God. And so I must understand that if I want to get wisdom, then I need to get, if I want to get knowledge, then I've got to get wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." There's two ways to get wisdom. There's two ways to get wisdom. Number one, by getting into God's holy word. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." God says pray, ask for it, get into His Word. He promises it. The second way is by hanging around those who have some wisdom in their life. We have a tendency to act like those we hang around with. We talk like those we hang around with. If we hang around with fools, we'll end up to be foolish. If we find folks that are seeking after God's wisdom and are trying their best to find God's wisdom, then what will... Listen, no one's perfect and everybody's going to fail. So look for people who are trying to walk in God's wisdom, not in the knowledge and the wisdom of this world. They're not the same things. And that's why Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 1 is so important, that we understand the woman's place and the man's place and don't adapt our life to the knowledge of this world that says daddies aren't important, mommies aren't important. Two daddies raised me. Two mommies raised me. I have two mommies. I have two dads. Throw those books away. They are not books based on wisdom from heaven. I don't care what the world says, and I don't care what people say. I don't care what people do. And by the way, I don't care if I get sued by a million people, because I ain't got no money and you ain't going to get none anyhow. But the truth is, that is God's Word, and if you don't like it, go deal with God. You go to heaven, march yourself up to His throne room, and you tell Him He's wrong. But He's not wrong. And we don't like that today. But that's the problem with America. We don't want rules. We want our own way. We want it just our own way. We want to be selfish. But God says there's some important things. And when we think the world's knowledge equals God's wisdom, we're wrong. Because God has a way of looking at things that we don't. Let me give you another illustration of that. I don't think people should go to hell. I think that's unfair. Then again, there are some people I think belong in hell. Think about it. Don't you think there's some people? Let's talk about some people that I think belong in hell. Those three men that kidnapped those three girls in Cleveland, Ohio, that were freed this week after 10 years of being in prison, I think they ought to go to hell. Don't pass go, don't collect $200, straight smack dab to hell. And you know what? I don't care if they go now. But God loves them just like He loves you and me. So my wisdom isn't God's wisdom. And God loves them just like He loves you. And cares for them. How could He? I don't know how He could. But I know that He does. Because He's not looking at it from your point of view or my point of view. I think once you're saved and you sin, you should get saved again. This eternal security stuff? That's craziness. Once saved, always saved. That makes sense to me. I think if you sin, you're on your way to hell and you need to get saved again. I think every day you ought to be running through the baptismal. Because I just got saved this morning from what I did yesterday. But the truth is, I'm wrong. That doesn't matter what I think then, does it? The truth is that God says once we're saved forever. He gives us eternal life, not temporal life. Once He's washed away my sins are washed away. Forever. As far as the east is from the west, He says, as far as He's separated us from our sin. I'm glad it says that. Because my view is different than that. So what do I need to do then? I need to adapt my life, not to my opinion, not to the world's opinion, but to God's Word. I'm going to give you another illustration. I think God should talk to people in a way that everybody can understand through their own mind, and then they should do what they think is right. That's not how God works. He works through His Word. Because if everybody did what they thought, a whole lot of people would not be existing on this earth anymore, because a whole lot of folks would be killed. They'd be dead. Haven't you ever been mad enough to kill somebody you love? Well, you may have not been mad enough to physically kill them, but it came awful close. All I'm saying is that what way we think of things isn't the way God thinks of things. And because of that, we can't let knowledge interfere with the godly wisdom that's there. Because it's knowledge so-called. Because it's perverted by this world. It's man-oriented, not God-oriented. Because it lifts up man, it doesn't lift up God. Salvation lifts up God. Eternal security lifts up God. The Bible lifts up God. Man's wisdom, man's knowledge lifts up man. God's wisdom lifts up God. One more verse tonight. Verse number 9. Fools make a mock at sin. Same thing here. But among the righteous there is favor. See that word favor? It means delight. It means acceptable. It means delight or desire or found good pleasure in. Alright? So, God finds good pleasure in doing right. Righteousness. Fools make a mock of sin. What's that mean? Fools make light of that which is sin. They try to make excuses for sin, not being sin, so they mock it. Oh, I can do it. So, you ever hear somebody talk to somebody while they're, you know that what they've been doing is wrong, but they're running down somebody else's sin, as if their other person is just totally worthless, but they've excused their own sin? We're all guilty of that, aren't we? Won't we all have conversations like that before? Yeah. You know why? Because we made a mock of sin. We think our sin is okay. But my sin's no more okay than your sin is. No sin's okay. And the only one that really brings us back to reality is God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A fool mocks sin. The world mocks sin. We justify our sin and destroy somebody else who's sinning because we vindicate ourselves. Fools, verse 9, make a mock at sin. But among the righteous there is favor. So how do I have favor with God? How do I make good pleasure from God? How do I become God's delight? By doing right. That's what our song for our children's Patch the Pirate was tonight. The little things, doing the little things right, become big things in our life. And God says that's where He finds delight, in doing the little things right. So how can I delight God, make God delight in me by living a righteous life? How do I live a righteous life, preacher? Go back to the book of Proverbs and read the steps that God's giving us in everyday life. These are practical, everyday situations that we run into, and He tells us how to get through them. And as we learn to get through them, and as we practice that, we get experience in that, we become better at it. And we become better and better and become a greater and greater pleasure to God because we live a more and more righteous life. It's not that we're self-righteous, which is what a lot of folks are, but that we live right before Him and He is delighted in us. It's just like your child. Don't you delight when your child obeys? Just does what you says the first time you ask him? Don't you just glow? You say, aren't they sweet? We were with some family because of the death of my uncle this week, and I had my grandson with me, and we are going to say goodbye to a lot of people. People he has never seen. People he'll probably never see again. And I'd say, give Aunt so-and-so a kiss goodbye. And he'd reach down and give him a kiss. Just first time you'd ask him, oh, it was so sweet. Aunt Jenny was there, and Aunt Jenny, he showed her a piece of candy. She said, Aunt Jenny's 90 years old, was sitting in a chair, and he showed her a piece of candy, and she said, oh, could I have one? And he immediately turned, ran to the candy dish, and brought her back a piece of candy. 23 months old. Brings her back a piece of candy. She really didn't want a piece of candy. She was just saying that to him. But obedience is wonderful. And everyone, including Grandpa, beamed as bright as the sun in the sweet obedience of a child. And that's how God feels when we do right. He just beams in delight and in pleasure of our existence because we just did simply something He asked us to do. What a wonderful, wonderful God we have. That's what I want to do for Him with my life. But I can't do it when I mock sin. I have to live a righteous life. So I've got to be honest with myself and work with God to correct my inabilities and my unrighteousness in my personal life. If I did that, I don't have time to judge anybody else. I'll be spending all my time and all my energy trying to get my Lord to delight in myself. And by the way, it's worth it. Because one day I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to stand before Him and I want Him to be delighted that I'm there with Him for eternity. Father, I thank You for what You've taught us tonight. I thank You for Your Word.